From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs, started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo acknowledges dedication of disaster mitigation agency workers. U.S. President Donald Trump set his re-election bid. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed gratitude to workers of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, or BNPB, and its regional offices nationwide for their dedication to assist those severely affected by catastrophes. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo, while addressing the participants of BNPB's National Coordinating Meeting on Tuesday, February 4th, said, "Despite the hard work and dedication of BNPB workers and other volunteers in helping the people in disaster zones, it will also be necessary to reduce the socio-economic sufferings of both those affected and the state. The potential catastrophes and occurrences of natural disasters tend to rise with every passing year. As a result, people are prone to social and economic losses owing to damage the infrastructure facilities and ongoing threats of climate change and human factors. Hence, President Joko Widodo highlighted the significance of finding permanent solutions related to preventive and mitigation efforts. Thus, Indonesia can prevent or at least significantly reduce the potential occurrences, disasters." Ambassador of the Islamic Republic of Iran to Indonesia, Muhammad Azad, at his official residence in Jakarta on Tuesday night, stated that Iran has held 12 meetings of Joint Commission on Trade and Economic with Indonesia. The trade value of the two countries currently exceeds $1 billion.
"We have held 12 joint commission meetings in the field of economy with Indonesia. The value of trade between the two countries exceeds to $1 billion. We also conducted exchange trade delegations and entrepreneurs that proves the determination of both countries in exploring their economic interactions and in a world which is full of challenges." Moreover, Ambassador Muhammad Azad also explained that cooperation is increasing not only in the field of trade, but also culture and tourism. Moreover, Muhammad Azad stated, "Diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Iran stretch back to 1950. In 2020, Indonesia and Iran will celebrate their 70th anniversary of diplomatic relations. During the relationship, the two countries have shown a positive trend of mutual respect to forge bilateral, regional, and multilateral cooperation." U.S. President Donald Trump delivered a self-congratulatory State of the Union speech Tuesday on the eve of near-certain acquittal in his impeachment trial, setting the stage of his re-election bid, as quoted by AFP.com. facing a Democratic Party stumbling from divisions and a chaotic start to the primaries, Trump strode confidently to the podium in the House of Representatives, where just last December he was impeached for abuse of office. He laid down an immediate marker that he was in campaign mode when he broke with custom by not shaking hands with the Democratic Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Democrats repaid the favor throughout the speech by remaining in their seats, often in silence while Republicans lived up their standing ovation. The slide perfectly captured the polarization gripping the country ahead of November's elections. Trump, however, struck a triumphant note, saying that he had launched the Great American Comeback. Severe flooding forced thousands of residents in New Zealand's South Island to flee their homes on Wednesday and left hundreds of tourists stranded at the remote Milford Sound beauty spot. As quoted by JakartaPost.com, the Southland region declared a state of emergency after being deluged with more than 100,000 millimeters of rainfall in 60 hours, triggering landslides on major roads and causing rivers to burst their banks. Authorities told residents in the low-lying areas of Goree and Matara to evacuate immediately early on Wednesday as flood waters in the Matara River peaked, giving warning to those further downstream in Wyndham to prepare to leave. An Emergency Management Southland, or EMS, spokeswoman told AFP that its site has issued notices to evacuate and to prepare to evacuate up to 6,000 people across the region. Residents were advised to grab medication, clothing and identification documents, then head to higher ground. The UK government is chartering a final flight to bring British nationals back from Wuhan, the China city at the center of the coronavirus outbreak, as quoted by BBC.com on Wednesday. The plane will leave in the early hours on Sunday morning and land at RIF Bryce Norton. It comes as Britons in mainland China have been urged to leave the country after the outbreak claimed more lives. More than 100,000 UK nationals and family members have already been evacuated to Britain from Wuhan. About 165 Britons are reported to remain in Hubei province, where the outbreak began, and 108 are believed to have asked the Foreign Office for help to leave. At least 427 people have died after contracting the virus, and there have been more than 20,000 confirmed cases, most of them in China. British Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab explained that his side has been working around the clock to help British nationals leave Hubei province on UK, French and New Zealand flights. The Foreign Office is chartering a second and final UK flight with space to help all British nationals and their dependents remaining in Hubei to leave. At least 10 people on a cruise ship quarantined off the coast of Japan have tested positive for the new coronavirus, according to Japan's Health Minister Katsunobu Kato on Wednesday, as quoted by AFP.com. Japan quarantined the vessel carrying 3,711 people and began testing those on board for the virus after a former passenger who disembarked in Hong Kong was diagnosed with the illness. Meanwhile, hundreds of travelers on board a cruise ship that docked in Hong Kong on Wednesday will be allowed to leave the vessel after health checks, the operator said. Despite three recent passengers testing positive for coronavirus, more than 20 countries have confirmed cases of the virus, which has killed nearly 500 people and infected more than 24,000 in mainland China. The outbreak has prompted the World Health Organization, or WHO, to declare a global health emergency, several governments to impose travel restrictions, and airlines to suspend flights to and from China. Since the first Oscars were awarded more than 90 years ago, there have been very far fewer women winners in all categories except costume design. As quoted by AFP.com on Wednesday, with the 92nd edition of the Academy Awards on Sunday also shaping up to be dominated by male winners, here is a breakdown of the wins for women over the years. Since the first Oscar ceremony in 1929, just 50% of the golden statues for acting and film production have been handed to women, according to AFP analysis of data on winners of individual awards. The proportion of women drops to roughly 10%, where the gender-specific actor and actress awards are not included. The percentage of women winners has increased over time, but they remain largely in minority. For the first 10 years of the Oscars, 30% of the winners were women, and only 4% in the categories open both to women and women. Over the most recent decade, this rose to 22% of overall laureates and 17% in the mixed categories. Listener, that was the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's commentary is on Trump's controversial statement about Jerusalem. The controversial statement of U.S. President Donald Trump, who proposed the city of Jerusalem to remain Israel's capital, was met with resistance from Arab states organizations. Palestinian President Mohammed Abbas said he would stop any relations with Israel, and this was welcomed with a firm stand by countries in the Arab League. President Donald Trump's controversial statement was made when meeting Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, January 28, 2020. According to Trump, his proposal would benefit both Israel and Palestine and be a peaceful solution for the Palestinians and Israelis. Jerusalem is determined to be the capital of Israel, where Palestine will be given the right to manage East Jerusalem as its capital. The Arab League strongly rejected President Donald Trump's proposal, arguing that the proposed solution would not provide justice for the Palestinian people. Arab leaders say they would not cooperate with the United States administration to implement Donald Trump's proposal. The Arab League's strong rejection was expressed at an urgent meeting in Cairo on Saturday, February the 1st, which was also attended by representatives of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. The presence of Saudi Arabia became a significant element given Riyadh's close relations with Washington. The organizations of Arab states also stressed that the borders of the Palestinian state should be as they were before the Six-Day War in 1967. After the war, Israel annexed the West Bank and Gaza and made East Jerusalem its capital. Palestine at the Arab League meeting in Cairo expressed its firm stance and rejection. President Mahmoud Abbas threatened to stop all relations with the United States and Israel, including their cooperation in the security sector. Dismissing Trump's proposal, Mahmoud Abbas stressed that the Palestinian people will continue to fight for their sovereignty and rights through legal means and peaceful solutions. Since Trump threw out the controversial proposal, the atmosphere has continued to heat up. Palestinian fighters protest by holding various actions. In such circumstances, in addition to the Arab League, countries that support Palestine, including Indonesia, of course, should show their stance and support. That was commentary today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history, I begin with February the 5th, 1933, the Seven Provincial Ships Mutiny. The Seven Provincial or Seven Provinces incident is a mutiny that took place on a ship named the Seven Provincial owned by the Royal Dutch Navy off the coast of Sumatra on February the 5th, 1933. The cause was the decision to reduce the salaries of Dutch East Indies government employees by 17%, which was announced on January 1, 1933. The reduction of employee salaries was an attempt of the Dutch East Indies government to reduce the budget deficit due to the economic depression that hit the world at that time. However, the decision was severely challenged by all parties, namely the European, Indonesian, and Eurasian employees in the Dutch East Indies government. The rebellion aboard the Seven Provincial was overcome by bombing the ship by a Dutch Navy aircraft. Turning to February the 5th, 1947, the Islamic Student Association was established. The Islamic Student Association, HME, is a student organization founded in Yogyakarta on February the 5th. Before the birth, the Islamic Student Association, HME, is a student organization founded in Yogyakarta on February the 5th, 1947. Before the birth of the Islamic Student Association, there was first a student organization called the Yogyakarta Student Association, but it was considered not to pay attention to the interests of students who will still uphold Islamic religious values. Not channeling religious aspiration is a strong reason for establishing the Islamic Student Organization, HME. HME was initiated by Lafran Pane, a freshman at the Faculty of Law at the Islamic University. I conclude with February the 5th, 1971, Apollo 14 lands on the moon. Apollo 14 is an 8-manned spacecraft mission in the United States Apollo program and the third to land on the moon. That was the last mission of the H mission landing, which targeted 2 days of stay on the moon. The aircraft with crew Commander Alan Shepard and Stuart Rosa as the command module and lunar module pilot Edgar Mitchell launched Apollo 14 on January 31, 1971 local time. After 40 minutes, Shepard and Mitchell made their lunar landings on February 5th. On the moon, Shepard hit 2 golf balls on the surface of the moon. Shepard, Rosa, and Mitchell went back to the Earth and landed in the Pacific Ocean on February the 9th. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Seberapa besar rasamu, ku mau tahu seberapa dalam hatimu, ku tak ingin engkau ragu tentang rasaku ini pada. Ku tak ingin engkau jauh. Ku mau kamu selalu ada dalam hatiku. Ku mau kamu hiasi ruang rindu. Jangan biarkan rasa hati ini membeku.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia for today's edition is Beginning February, One-Stop Licensing Service Applies at BKPM. Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board or BKPM head Bahlil Lahadalia in Jakarta on Monday stated that all business licensing had been delegated to BKPM beginning Monday. Therefore, representatives from 25 ministries and institutions began working at BKPM for the top one-stop licensing service. Bahlil stated that, in line with Presidential Instruction No. 7/2019, mandated BKPM to evaluate all licensing processes. Then it assigned the ministry to delegate some licensing authorities to the Investment Coordinating Board. Bahlil stated the process for all permit issuance is carried out at BKPM, except those permits for upstream oil and gas, which will still be processed at the Authority of Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry. The downstream oil and gas sector as transportation, gas station, and mining permit are at BKPM. Although Bahlil could not specify the time needed to finish licensing, he assured there will be acceleration. License processing durations depend on model or type of business permit, such as environmental impact analysis and mining business permits that require technical assessment, which will not be finished in one day. Bahlil also explained since tax incentive giving to investors move to BKPM, business people who invest and fulfill regulations will receive incentives. Namely, they do not need to visit ministry offices. Therefore, licensing processes can be more efficient in terms of time and cost, including their certainty. Meanwhile, business permits under regional governments, namely in provinces, regencies, and cities, will be directly carried out by one-stop integrated service and investment agency. The Home Affairs Ministry issue letters to governors, regions, and city mayors to ensure permits are only being processed at one-stop integrated service and investment agency. Bahlil also stated that currently, they are formulating the norm, standard procedure, and criteria. Previously, after receiving a business registration number, business people must receive approval from all related ministries and bodies. So, those related ministries and institutions will put a representative at the Investment Coordinating Board office. This is because business people require three things. Namely, speed, certainty, and efficiency. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Ahmad Faisal.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you Blue Sea Hilaga Island in North Sulawesi. North Sulawesi is famous with its beautiful tourism in Manado or Bunaken. In addition, it is also known with its super priority destination in Likupang, where a lot of tourists are interested in visiting it. The destination is exactly in North Minahasa, North Sulawesi. Now, the Likupang Special Economic Zone or KEK is being built. There are many reasons for us to visit Likupang. The destination in Likupang is as beautiful as many other popular tourism destinations in North Sulawesi. One of them is Lihaga Island. Lihaga Island is an uninhabited island located in Likupang sub-district, North Minahasa Regency. Lihaga Island is only 8 hectares. It is not too big, but it has extraordinary tourism potentials. Of course, it has been seen that this island has a beach with fine white sand, which contrasts with the blue of the ocean. Visitors who want to see it surely cannot wait to come down and touch the sea. Lihaga Island also has an interesting underwater world. By diving or snorkeling close around the beach, you can see many fish swimming. To reach the Lihaga Island, we have to travel about 50 minutes from Manado City to Likupang, port of Sirte. After arriving at Likupang, you have to continue the journey by approximately 40 minutes. By using local fishing boat. Boat rental costs around 800,000 rupiahs for 20 passengers. Even though this island is not populated, you don't need to worry because this island has toilets and dressing rooms. You can also stay overnight at Lihaga Island with a little cost. If you plan to visit and stay overnight at Lihaga Island, don't forget to buy food and drinks first because Lihaga Island does not have stores. Unfortunately, there are not many facilities in this tourism destination. But if you like adventuring, the nature of Lihaga Island is appropriate for you to explore. And listener, that was Indonesian Wonder featuring Lihaga Island in North Sulawesi. Thank you for listening.
Dan ku takkan pernah berhenti berharap mentari kan bersinar lagi. Rubah tiap hariku, rubah sepi hatiku. Apa ini janji? Yakin kau kan selalu ada.
hari membawa harapan. Ku yakin kau kan selalu ada.
Alright listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Well listeners, we would like to give you another information about interesting tourism that happens in Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Daftar Masuk Hotel or Hotel Check-in. Listen to this conversation about Daftar Masuk Hotel or Hotel Check-in. The conversation is between Kevin and the hotel receptionist.
Bapak pesan satu kamar standar untuk 2 malam ya?
Iya, betul.
Bisa saya pinjam paspor Bapak?
Ini paspor saya, silakan.
Baik, kamar Bapak nomor 354 ya. Ini kunci kamarnya.
Terima kasih.
Now I'm going to introduce the vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Bapak pesan satu kamar standar untuk 2 malam, kan? Bapak pesan satu kamar standar untuk 2 malam, kan? Which means, you have ordered a standard room for 2 nights, right? Bisa saya pinjam paspor Bapak? Bisa saya pinjam paspor Bapak? Which means, may I see your passport? Kamar Bapak nomor 354. Kamar Bapak nomor 354. Which means your room number is 354. Ini kunci kamarnya. Ini kunci kamarnya. Which means here is the key. Passport. Which means passport. Kunci kamar. Which means room key. In the conversation, the receptionist says, bisa saya pinjam paspor Bapak? We focus on the phrase bisa saya pinjam. The expression is used to borrow something formally, then followed with the object you want to borrow. Let's listen to another example. Bisa saya pinjam mobil kamu? To respond to the question, you can answer by saying, ya, silakan. Or, tentu saja. For example, Kevin, bisa saya pinjam mobil kamu? Which means, can I borrow your... Salah ulang. Can I borrow your car? Siti, ya, silakan. Additionally, to ask to borrow something in a formal situation, besides using the expression bisa saya pinjam, you can also use another expression, boleh saya pinjam. The word bisa can change into the word boleh. But in an informal situation, you can say, saya pinjam pensilnya ya. Listener, checking into a hotel, foreigners must show their passport. But for Indonesian people, they just show their ID card or KTP or other ID cards as customer identity cards. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Bapak pesan satu kamar standar untuk 2 malam ya?
Iya, betul.
Bisa saya pinjam paspor Bapak?
Ini paspor saya, silakan.
Baik, Kamar Bapak nomor 354 ya. Ini kunci kamarnya.
Terima kasih.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Nanti kenangan dan harapan bercahaya di dalam hati, sejuta mimpi menjadi nyata.
Cinta.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a song from Lampung Province entitled Tanoh Lado. Tanoh Lado is an original song of Lampung that has been familiar in the region and mostly presented in various events such as wedding ceremony and formal events. The song Tanoh Lado was composed by Fat Syahbudin, which tells about the wealth of Lampung province. The region is not only rich in its local resources, but also culture and traditional language. The song also tells about pepper, which is one of top commodities from Lampung province. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Tanoh Lado, sung by Andy Ahmad.
Japalas munggah di bengkungan gunung rimba tiupu matang pulau-pulau di laut Panjawa wadi Nusantara kami tuku salun jajabri tamo lampungku tamo lada Kagana jadi warisan jaman-jaman tapi pun gak masai Tuhan Raja uniman sebatin semerga Sai murah-murah Mereka
South Indonesia.
Aku sajian delom ajang adeng ngisi bebuat Tuhan. Miku midangnya senang adeng kidang kapai cempala. Miku midangnya senang widek kidang sampai cempala.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter @voinindonesia, email voi@voinews.id.